This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO, Licensed Insolvency Trustees. The views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of this station. Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO on VOCM.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Your Money with Nancy Snedden. I am Nancy Snedden. Thanks so much for tuning in today. On today's show, it's March, and that means Fraud Prevention Month here in Canada. And this year's theme is 20 years of fighting fraud from then to now. And the focus is to help Canadians really recognize how fraud has evolved over the years. Fraud has certainly evolved, and from telemarketing, mail, social media, now artificial intelligence. So how do you protect yourself, and why is it so important to report when you have become a victim of fraud? Joining me now for advice on this is Jeff Horncastle, Client and Communications Outreach Officer, Canadian Anti-Fraud Centre, and Constable James Cadigan, Media Relations and Public Communication with the Royal Newfoundland Constabulary. Gentlemen, thanks for joining me today. There's definitely a lot to talk about, so I want to jump right into it. As mentioned, this year marks 20th years of fighting fraud. So maybe I'll start with you, Jeff. Can you speak a little bit to how fraud has evolved? Because it really speaks to, I think, the expertise of these fraudsters and scammers.
Yeah. So, I mean, fraud has evolved so much over the last few years. When we're, for example, looking at dollar loss in 2021, there's $367 million in overall reported losses to the Canadian Anti-Fraud Centre. That skyrocketed to $554 million in 2023. Not necessarily linked to an increase in reporting or number of victims. We're seeing that the frauds are a lot more sophisticated than they were in the past, a lot more transactions to process for the Canadian Anti-Fraud Centre. So there's so many different ways, which I think we'll touch on, that fraud has evolved.
No, absolutely. And I think for listeners out there wondering about the significance of raising awareness and offering advice on fraud prevention, just listen to the latest stats regarding fraud here in Canada. So as of December 31st, 2023, the reports of fraud were 62,365, Canadian victims of fraud, 41,111, and lost to fraud, $554 million. That's an increase from $531 million in 2022. So I was comparing the statistics over the past few years and noticed a decrease in the incidence of fraud being reported, as well as a decrease in the number of victims. However, the amount of money being lost continues to rise. So Constable Cadigan, can you speak to this?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I think it goes without saying that fraud is one of those types of activities that often goes unreported. And that could be due to, embarrassment or, being afraid to bring it forward and talk about it, and it's difficult to really pinpoint, why that sum of money lost remains and continues to grow. But it potentially has to do with the fact that the sums of money that are being requested by fraudsters is greater. You look at scams that have been reported across the province, and we see that sums of money in loss are in the thousands of dollars, which is probably more than you would have seen 10, 20 years ago.
No, absolutely. And I think, too, we talk about all the time the importance of reporting. And although the number of reports has gone down, it certainly doesn't mean that the victims have decreased. It just means those that are reporting it has gone down potentially, right? And I know we'll get into that as the show goes on, and the importance of really, making sure you make people aware if you suspect you have been a victim or know you have been a victim of fraud. This Fraud Prevention Month, the Canadian Anti-Fraud Center and the RNC are focused on emphasizing the importance of reporting fraud, raising awareness, and providing tips to the public to protect themselves. So, Jeff, I know that the center is doing this by breaking the month out into weekly themes. Can you tell us a little bit more about those?
Sure. This March is the 20th anniversary of Fraud Prevention Month in Canada. So we're going to be highlighting how fraud has changed over the last 20 years. So this focus is a lot on technology. A lot of boiler room fraud, or primarily boiler room fraud back 20 years ago, has evolved into, new environments on social media that didn't necessarily exist 20 years ago. So week one, We'll be looking at the evolution of the fraud pitch, which means how different types of fraud have changed. So, for example, we'll be looking at investment scams. They went from precious gems 20 years ago to crypto investments in 2024. Week two, the evolution of solicitation methods. So how are fraudsters or criminals reaching their victims, with initial contact, whether it's social media, fraudulent ads, maybe a deep fake video, compromised social media account. Week three, we'll be looking at how do fraudsters want you to send money. So the big one here, obviously, is cryptocurrency, which we see in a lot of different types of fraud, whether it's extortion, crypto investments. And week number four, an important one, new technology to watch for. So we're getting reports of QR code fraud, where, typical phishing message, but they ask the victim to scan a QR code, taking advantage of, in some cases, lack of knowledge of what a QR code is and not realizing that you're actually following a link when you scan that QR code. And of course, artificial intelligence and how that's being implemented into all types of fraud.
Yeah, and I want to talk a little bit more about that, Jeff, because, AI is certainly a hot topic. And it's a real concern, I think, for Canadians, including those here at home, of course, in Newfoundland and Labrador. And according to RBC's annual Fraud Prevention Month poll, the number of Canadians concerned about AI is certainly growing. So 3/4 of Canadians at 75% are more concerned about fraud than ever before. 9 in 10 at 88% also believe the use of AI will increase scam attempts over the next year and could make everyone more vulnerable to fraud at 89%. And 4 in 5 Canadians believe that AI will make fraud attempts by phone harder to detect. That's 81%. And are concerned about voice cloning and impersonation scams at 81%. We know from the news there are more and more incidents of fraud involving AI occurring. And the RBC survey also shows that over half of poll participants at 56% have observed a noticeable increase in scams where fraudsters use AI to create realistic fake videos or audio recordings. And 47% have reported a rise in voice cloning scams, where a person's voice is artificially replicated in order to deceive the victim into believing they're communicating with someone they actually know and trust. So Constable Cadigan, we know the grandparent scam here at home last year made national headlines. The accused used our AI to con Newfoundland seniors out of $200,000. So what can you tell us about this? And what should we be looking out for, I guess, with regards to AI?
Yeah, certainly. I'm glad we had an opportunity to hit on this because, it was a significant event in the community. It was put a lot of fear into families. And, we do believe that a crime network was utilizing, artificial intelligence to clone voices. There was reports that, the phone calls received in most cases, if not all, seniors, they said it sounded just like a grandchild or a son or daughter, So it shows that, these crime networks are using this technology to clone or to deceive these individuals who they're calling and, put them in a state of fear or, essentially put their backs against the wall. What we would like to make clear is that, anytime you receive a phone call where a supposed public official, police officer is put on the phone demanding that you pay any amount of money, that's most certainly a scam. And that would never occur. That's not something that is legal. And, that's certainly a big red flag. What I would also recommend, talk about protecting ourselves. You should have a safe word or some kind of term that your family can use to ensure that your loved ones, certainly seniors who may live alone or just are unfamiliar with these types of activities, that they can say on the phone so they can confirm that this is, in fact, a family member.
Yeah, I think that is a fantastic idea, right? Like just saying, so what is the word, right, that we talked about using in these scenarios? And that's going to stop fraudsters in their tracks, right? Because they're going to have no idea what to do there. And I know we've talked about before, CRA a fraud where, you know, you're getting texts or you're getting calls where people are saying that you need to pay in gift cards, for example, to Revenue Canada. And we did a show on tax last week, and the CRA representative said we would never do that. And, you know, if you ever get a call, hang up and call the contact center at CRA directly. So I guess similarly, Constable Cadden, you could say, you know, if you have a family member calling you about this, you know, call them directly, hang up, call them directly, try to reach them directly to try to confirm that as well. You know, these advancements in fraud techniques certainly signify a new era of challenges in the realm of cybersecurity and fraud prevention. So Jeff, what advice do you have for our listeners on how they can protect themselves from becoming a victim of a scam or fraud involving AI?
Yeah, there's so many ways that you can take to protect yourself from being a victim of fraud. We document over 30 types of fraud at the Canadian Anti-Fraud Center, but if we're looking specifically at AI, we want to remember that, you know, if you see a video of a celebrity or a news anchor, for example, promoting a cryptocurrency platform or a specific type of merchandise, you have to remember that the deepfakes exist and the video can be fake. So just by being aware that some of the technology is out there, important to mention that AI is giving fraudsters the ability to use AI to communicate with victims as well. So the victim might be thinking they're communicating with a human, but in reality they're communicating with a sophisticated bot, which is a form of AI as well. So biggest thing is trying to stay on top of what methods fraudsters are using, what new technology is out there, and if you feel you're protected, then share that information with your family members and loved ones.
Yeah, I think knowledge is power, right? So doing your research, and to your point, if you know about these types of things, sharing it with your family and friends on what you have found and what to be aware of is certainly important, right? There's lots of research out there that shows so many different types of fraud that continue to impact the well-being of Canadians. So we're going to talk about that and let you know what you should be aware of when we come back. Please stay with us.
Saturday morning, join us for the Irish Newfoundland Show. Send your request to irishnl@vocm.com or submit them online at vocm.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money here on VOCM. I'm your host, Nancy Snedden, licensed insolvency trustee with BDO Canada right here in Newfoundland and Labrador. Well, it's March, and that means Fraud Prevention Month. So joining me on advice on how you can protect yourself is Jeff Horncastle. He's the Client and Communications Outreach Officer with the Canadian Anti-Fraud Centre, and Constable James Cadigan, Media Relations and Public Communication with the Royal Newfoundland Constabulary. When you hear the statistics regarding the rise in incidents and the costs associated with them, there's no doubt that technology has made fraud easier to commit, more widespread, and more sophisticated than ever before. And while AI is certainly at the forefront of many scams or forms of fraud that people are concerned about, research shows that other types of fraud continue to impact the financial well-being of Canadians, including, of course, Newfoundlanders and Labradorians. So let's talk a little bit more about these now. I'll start with you, Constable Cadigan. What should our listeners be aware of?
Yeah, so I mean, we talked a bit about the grandparent scam already, but I think most recently, and the rental scam seems to rear its face. It's essentially what happens is people looking to rent properties, you know, throughout the province are checking on apps or sites such as Kijiji and so on, and NL Classifieds, all of these local kind of sites, and they're contacting the person who supposedly has this property up for rent, and they're getting asked to send, you know, $500 to hold this property if you're interested. There's a lot of demand, and so after this money is sent, this ad is then taken down. They don't hear from this person ever again. So this is a common scenario we've had reported over the past year, and you know, we really want to caution, you know, members of the community and anybody coming from outside of the province, if you're looking to rent a property, you know, take measures to ensure it definitely exists. It's a legitimate ad. You know, do a virtual viewing if you cannot attend in person. Maybe have a family or friend, a member attend the property and ensure that it is in fact for rent and that the person you know, you're in contact with is legitimate.
Yeah, that's some really great advice. You know, it is a difficult market out there now for housing. So I'm sure, you know, people could easily be lured into something like that, right? Where they're worried that they'll lose the property if they don't send the deposit. But, you know, knowing that that exists out there, hopefully people will, like you said, take those measures to make sure that it is legitimate before sending any funds through. And so, Jeff, what can you tell us about the top 10 most common frauds that were reported in 2023?
Sure. So I'll start with the top reported fraud based on number of reports received at the Canadian Anti-Fraud Centre in 2023, which was identity fraud, has been at the top of the list for a number of years now. So important to know here that there's a difference between identity theft and identity fraud. So identity theft would happen, you know, if you were part of a breach or you gave out personal information through a phishing email or a text message, or maybe you lost an important document and the wrong person got their hands on that information, right? So important to know that if you have been a victim of identity theft and your personal information has been compromised, to follow the steps to prevent yourself from being a victim of identity fraud, which is defined as basically the criminals applying for accounts with your information, credit cards, cell phones. The list of steps to follow are all on the Canadian Anti-Fraud Centre's website. You just have to click on what to do if you're a victim. And if you follow those steps, you can prevent being a victim of identity fraud. Moving down the list a little bit, you know, I did touch on phishing, which is one of the lead causes of identity fraud and identity theft. 5,850 reports. So as we all know, there's so many different variations of phishing out there. I will mention a new variation that we received reports on last week, where fraudsters somehow got their possession of their target's social insurance number, and they incorporated that into their phishing text message. So the victim received the message saying that they owed money for income tax. There was a review on their income tax, and the message actually included the victim's social insurance number to make it more believable. So all this to say is that they're always finding new ways to try to fool you. Important that, you know, if you always stick by the rule of avoiding to click on links, then you know, you're going to save yourself. A lot of these messages look very legitimate, so if you're not sure, I'll take the CRA example. Reach out to them directly, look up the official phone number, and give them a call to verify before making a decision.
No, absolutely. It's so important. Like, and I can't stress enough, and I think we talk about this every time we do a show like this, Jeff, like CRA is not going to contact you by text. It's not a form of communication that they use. So anytime you get anything like that, just ignore it. It's definitely not coming from a government organization, but it definitely is a rise, I think, in the method that fraudsters are using to communicate. And to your point, when they put information in there, that makes it seem like, well, it has to be legit, because how else would they know my social insurance number? But just keep remembering, it doesn't matter what information is in there. Revenue Canada does not use texting as a form of communication. That's really interesting to look at the 10 most common frauds reported. But I think something that stands out for me too is the costliest frauds in 2023. So by a large margin, actually. So we'll go down through them. Investment fraud was $309 million. The next one to that was spear phishing, which was $58.2 million. So clearly investment fraud is the largest, like most costliest fraud that's out there. So what can you tell us about that, Jeff?
Yeah, so great point. So important to touch on, because the victims are losing a lot of money to investment fraud and primarily crypto investment scams. So from the beginning, you know, general around the country is very common for somebody not to know a lot about cryptocurrency. So, you know, if you're deciding to, you're considering investing from the beginning and you don't have any knowledge on it, then you're putting yourself at risk, right? So fraudsters are contacting or communicating with victims either through fraudulent ads on social media, on the internet, or it could be a compromised social media account where you think you're getting a message from one of your friends or contacts. Always keep in mind that, you know, if you get a stranger message, always better to reach out to them by phone to communicate, if, you know, ask if it's them that sent you the message or not. So the way this works, you know, the crypto investment is, you know, if the victim decides to invest a little bit of money, they're asked to put in $200 or $300, for example, at the beginning, and they see that money grow within a few weeks, and they're actually in a lot of cases able to withdraw those funds and even the gain that they've made on the investment. And the reason the criminals do this is to make it believable, right? So after that's done, time goes on, the victim decides to invest more and more, and these platforms look very legitimate on these, you know, fraudulent websites. The victim is able to see their money growing over sometimes months, right? And we've had victims lose into the hundreds of thousands. And all this to say is when it comes time to withdraw the large amount that they've invested and whatever they've made, the return on their investment, that's when they realize they've been scammed and they're not able to get any money out. I'm going to mention romance scams because it's always in the top three for the last number of years. We're seeing a lot of reports that are romance / investment fraud. So it would start off as a typical romance scam where, you know, the suspect will wait till they have that emotional connection with the victim, and it'll turn into a cryptocurrency or crypto investment offer saying, hey, I've made a lot of money in this crypto platform, you should give it a try. And then it would work the same way from there, like I explained on crypto investments. So just something to keep an eye out on. And of course, spear phishing. So much information for businesses on our website to protect yourself from being a victim.
Yeah, and you know, I talk about this all the time too, I think, Jeff, like of all, I mean, fraud and you know, being a victim of fraud is never something that I would wish on anyone, but certainly those romance scams, they really hit my heart, because in those cases, I think it's not only the loss of anything that's of monetary value, but there's an emotional toll, right, that comes with that, right? When you put your trust in someone, when, you know, you form, you know, a real connection and feelings for someone, you're mourning that loss as much or more maybe even than the value, right, that's come out. And I never understand how any individual would be able to put someone through that. But before we go to break, Constable Cadigan, anything that you have to add on any of those like those costly frauds that we're seeing here in Newfoundland and Labrador?
Yeah, I think that essentially with all of these frauds discussed by Jeff already, you know, essentially you've got these fraudsters identifying and exploiting vulnerabilities. You know, these investment scams, in if not all cases, most cases, are not it doesn't involve wealthy individuals. I mean, these are often people trying to make a dollar to try and get above board, or, you know, so it's really finding people who need that extra push and really honing in on that vulnerability that these fraudsters are doing. And it's unfortunate to see, because the similar tactic is being used in your romance scam, extortion, and so on. So it's about, you know, keeping this conversation going, identifying these tactics, and being prepared to, you know, protect yourself.
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, awareness definitely is growing around fraud. But I think with that, many wonder then, why are these fraudsters so successful? So we're going to talk more about that and hear from our experts when we come back. Please stay with us.
Every Saturday is perfect for a night at the cabin. The Cabin Party with Brian O'Connell. Saturday night starting at 7 p.m. on VOCM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money here on VOCM. I'm your host, Nancy Sneddon, licensed insolvency trustee with BDO Canada right here in Newfoundland and Labrador. I'm joined today by Jeff Horncastle. He's the Client and Communications Outreach Officer with the Canadian Anti-Fraud Centre, and Constable James Cadigan, Media Relations and Public Communication with the Royal Newfoundland Constabulary. So, of course, it's March, and that means Fraud Prevention Month, and that's what we're focusing on today. And before the break, we did talk about the statistics pertaining to fraud in Canada, and they're certainly shocking. We have also discussed the top frauds and scams that are costing Canadians literally millions of dollars. Technology has certainly made fraud easier to commit. It's now more widespread and more sophisticated than ever before. In fact, according to surveys, the majority, at 57% of Canadians, admit to seeing an increase in scams. Three quarters at 76% express concern about them. Four in five at 82% believe these scams will increase as people deal with economic challenges. And more than half at 53% say they are being targeted by fraudsters more than ever before through social media. So, Constable Cadigan, what is your response to these survey results, and how concerning are they to hear?
Yeah, I think it's great to hit on the point around social media. You know, it's impacting young people and of all ages, really. But if you look at the extortion, sextortion scams, it's more so our young people who are being impacted on applications like Snapchat and Instagram and whatnot. You know, essentially what's happening is people not known to the user are requesting, you know, they'd be added as a contact and engaging in communication, trying to develop a relationship through this social media application to the point where they get some leverage and then demand, a payment. You know, in a case of a sextortion, it's I'm going to release photos of you unless you pay me this amount. So it's an extremely alarming form of, you know, targeting. And, you know, it's important to for parents, certainly with children with cell phones and so on, access to all these applications, you know, to have this conversation, open the discussion, and ensure that, you know, if you have a contact on your list, whether it be Snapchat or any of these apps that you do not know personally, I mean, that is a risk.
Yeah, I think, and it brings up a point, I think, that you want to make sure you're only communicating with people that you do know on these forms of social media, right? And not, you know, accepting invitations to connect with people who maybe you don't know who they are or why they could possibly be looking for you to connect. So, Jeff, can you share maybe some insight on other demographics that are being targeted and who is falling victim more than others?
Honestly, from what we're seeing, it anybody's at risk of being a victim. With that being said, you know, different types of fraud may target different demographics. So, Constable Cadogan touched on sextortion. So obviously, young adults, or you know, in some cases, unfortunately, teenagers are targeted. And of course, it's a grandparent scam. Then, you know, more than likely, seniors are going to be targeted, right? But overall reporting, we're seeing every different demographic being targeted, and unfortunately, everybody's at risk of being a victim.
Yeah, which is unfortunate, right? But it speaks to the importance of awareness, right? We really need to make sure that we're sharing this information, that you're doing your research, going to the Canadian Anti-Fraud Center, you know, looking at the things that are out there, sharing it with your friends and family, making sure that, you know, we're making it as hard as possible for people to fall victim to these types of scams and the ability of the fraudsters to really deceive people. I think with so much awareness out there today, though, right? But there's more than ever before. I wonder, why are fraudsters so successful at continuing to be able to deceive people and conning them out of their money? So, Constable Kennigan, what can you say about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you talk about that wide net. At the end of the day, these fraudsters are casting out that net to give an idea. You know, even to my RNC email, I'm getting phishing scams. So they're sending these emails everywhere. And on top of that, you know, they're using scripts and things that have worked for them most commonly. So if you're seeing an email, I mean, they're using artificial intelligence to articulate. They have graphic design to make things look legitimate. And, you know, they're using all of these tools that, you know, large corporations are using to get our attention just the same way.
Yeah, it's amazing, right, that you would be getting those phishing scams to an RNC email. Like there's really no boundary, right, as to where these fraudsters are looking and how they're trying to connect with people.
Most certainly. I mean, it just shows the ruthlessness of these operations and these crime networks, in that they have no boundaries. They don't care if it's almost, you know, that carelessness that makes them frightening. You know, in a sense. So it's important, as you said, that we have these discussions and talk about the fact that there's certain things that we should know. You can always go to the Canadian Anti-Fraud Center to learn about the how to protect yourself. But I think the point around this email phishing scam, you can often hit the email address that is showing as the one that was sent to you. And while it appears official, like a PayPal or otherwise, once you hit it and the address actually shows up, you can clearly see that it is not a legitimate email.
That's a really good point. And I often look at that. I get phishing emails all the time to my BDO email as well. And that's one of the things that I have learned to do. Some training that our IT group did with us, actually, to look at the email address. And although it may seem at first glance that it's legitimate, there's usually a character off or there's something in there that will tip you off that this is not legit and it should just be deleted. So thanks for bringing that up. I want to talk a little bit now about prevention. And before we get into the tips, let's go back to the RBC survey, because it found that there's been a decrease in respondents proactively keeping themselves safe, with only 28% recently taking added steps to protect themselves, down from 36% in 2023. So, Jeff, how concerning is this to hear?
It's very concerning. I think that in a lot of cases, and it's not everyone, a lot of people think that it'll never happen to them. Right. There's this belief that, I'll never fall for a scam or I'll never be a victim of identity fraud. Well, like I mentioned, it can happen to anyone. It's so important to take the steps to protect your accounts. While I'm on this point, I'm going to mention, multi-factor authentication is an excellent way to add an extra layer of protection on whatever, on all of your accounts if you can. But so important to never share that code with anyone, because fraudsters may claim to be your financial institution and ask you to provide that code over the phone, which would in turn give them access to your bank accounts, right? So all this to say is multi-factor authentication is an excellent way, but never share that code with anybody.
So important. So if we look at prevention, Constable Cadigan, what advice do you have for listeners on how they can protect themselves from becoming a victim of fraud, especially incidents where AI are involved?
Yeah, I think we talked a bit about, the grandparent scam piece and just having seniors being the target of that particular scam. And I think it's important, first of all, have the discussion, talk about it. We're here today to bring awareness. Secondly, have some things in place like that safe word or term that you're going to use when you're on the phone and you're kind of suspicious that something may be off. And, perhaps just have some reading material in your home that, you can brush up on, and maybe even these websites such as the Canadian Anti-Fraud Center you can refer to that are easily accessible and great resources to protect yourselves. And on a local scale, we often talk about the local scams, like your service scams, whether it be home renovation or otherwise. These are the types of scams that you really just got to do your homework, you got to do your research and ensure that the individuals who are contacting you to do whatever work is service is being provided, that they're legitimate and that they've got references and legitimate contact information.
Now, that's some really great advice. Just a minute or so before we go to break, Jeff, anything to add on that?
No, I think that I will add quickly that, if we focus, keep an eye on different tricks or what's in a fraudster's toolbox, which we covered last year for Fraud Prevention Month, we're looking at caller ID spoofing. So never base the legitimacy of a phone call on the number you're seeing on your call display. A sense of urgency, very common in all types of fraud. So, although they're saying you have to act right away, never feel pressured. Always take the time to look into to what's going on, whether it's a phone call or a big blowout sale. Get a second opinion if you can. Search engine optimization is a big one. So if you go on to your search engine, put a search in, there's a good chance the first 5 to 10 results that you're seeing are probably fraudulent websites. Always make sure you're going to the official website of the company that you're looking up.
No, that's some really great advice. I do that myself, right? When I'm Googling, I go past all the sponsored ads and go down to the non-sponsored ads as sort of the first look at what it is that I'm looking for, especially if I think it's something that could be related to any sort of fraud or scam or may not be legitimate. So that's some really great advice. Well, when we return, we're going to discuss the importance of reporting when you or someone you know fall victim to fraud. We'll be right back.
Get lost in the music of legendary artists like Elton John, The Beatles, and more. Join Claudette Barnes every Sunday from 12 to 1 p.m. and relive fond memories through the power of music with Sunday Melodies on your VOCM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money here on VOCM. I'm your host, Nancy Snedden, licensed insolvency trustee with BDO Canada right here in Newfoundland and Labrador. Well, March is Fraud Prevention Month, and joining me to talk about that is Jeff Horncastle. He's the Client and Communications Outreach Officer at the Canadian Anti-Fraud Centre, and Constable James Cadigan, Media Relations and Public Communication with Royal Newfoundland Constabulary. We've been talking a lot today about fraud prevention and sharing some advice on how you can protect yourself from becoming a victim of fraud. But I want to talk now about the importance of reporting. If you or someone that you know has fallen a victim to fraud, I can't, you know, enforce enough how important it is to come forward with that information. As mentioned off the top of the show, as alarming as the fraud statistics are, the reality is that actual numbers are much higher. And the Canadian Anti-Fraud Centre estimates that only 5 to 10% of people actually report the fraud. So, Jeff, why are people so reluctant to report fraud?
There's a few different reasons, and I think Constable Cadigan touched on a couple of them. First of all, a victim might be ashamed, may not want to discuss what happened to them. They may not want to report unless they're guaranteed restitution. So, you know, unless they're guaranteed that they can get the money back, then they may not see value in reporting. They may have a belief that, well, the Canadian Anti-Fraud Centre doesn't investigate, so what's the point of reporting, right? So it's so important to understand the mandate and what the Canadian Anti-Fraud Centre does and what the value is in reporting.
Yeah, I think it's so important, right? Like whether there's, you know, restitution out there, I get that people may feel, you know, that they may be judged or, you know, some shame or, you know, how did I let this happen to myself? But the important thing to remember is that by reporting, you're really helping others, right? You're letting people know what's out there. You're preventing others from falling victim to fraud. So, Constable Cadigan, how do we change this mindset? Because as we say, you know, reporting fraud is that one way that we really can raise awareness and help with prevention.
Yeah, I mean, knowledge is power, right? So a lot of times, even the smallest detail leads an investigation in the right direction. So consider that information could link a number of crimes together in Canada, abroad, or right here in our province. You know, information could progress or complete an investigation. And reports show crime trends and allows for crime forecasting. So it gives us an idea as to what's to come. And, you know, we can be a bit better prepared as a community. And, you know, it helps law enforcement, private and public sector, so on, to learn about the crimes and help with prevention and awareness efforts. You know, essentially, it gives us an opportunity to educate, you know, proactively.
No, absolutely. So for people out there listening, you know, whether it's in the recent past or you know, happened over the last little while, how do they report if they feel they have been a victim of fraud?
Yeah, so with the RNC, you can contact us directly at 729-8000 here on the Northeast Avalon, Cornerbrook Region, 637-4100, and in Labrador West, it'd be 944-7602. So those are our jurisdictions across the province, and you know, we can be contacted directly at those locations, and we can investigate and gather any information that someone may have related to a fraud or a scam that they've fallen victim to.
And can you provide now, Constable Cadigan, any details, like what would these investigators be looking for?
I mean, at the end of the day, it's any information about the experience. You know, was it where did the communication begin? You know, what information was shared? You know, the loss of funds, you know, and it's important to learn as much about these processes as possible so that we can, you know, first of all, try to determine if we can hold someone accountable and, you know, criminally. And secondly, that we can educate our community to protect themselves.
No, it's so, so important. I really can't stress enough how important it is to take those steps. So, Jeff, where and how can listeners learn about the latest frauds and scams that are impacting Canadians?
Yes, so you can follow the Canadian Anti-Fraud Centre on social media, Facebook and Twitter or X, especially during the month of March. A lot of good information out there. Our website is an excellent resource for fraud. You can go through our index and, you know, read about different types of fraud. A lot of so much good information on the website. I'm going to go back to the importance of reporting a little bit here. I think it's important to, if you do want to report to the Canadian Anti-Fraud Center, you can call 1-888-495-8501, or you can file a report online through our fraud reporting system at antifraudcenter.ca. You don't have to be a victim to report to the Canadian Anti-Fraud Center. You know, if you've had communication with fraudsters, you know, phone numbers, email addresses, payment information is all valuable information that you can share.
That's a really good point, right? So if you're aware of a scam, but you haven't fallen victim, or there's something that you think could be a scam and you haven't sort of followed through and there hasn't necessarily been any monetary loss, equally important to report that, right?
100%, because I mean, you may have been asked to send a payment, but you didn't necessarily send the payment, right? You still have that valuable information. So one of our, you know, obviously part of our mandate is, or a good part of our mandate is fraud prevention, sharing information that we gather with the public to alert them. But the other main part of our mandate is to link information together for investigators, not only in Canada, but internationally. So, you know, if there was a victim of a certain type of scam in Newfoundland and another one in Vancouver, for example, that information can be easily linked together and shared with investigators.
Oh, that's fantastic. So it's been really great having you both on the show today. You know, it's always so important to get this information out there and to reinforce the message about, you know, reporting these things. And, you know, we've said several times, knowledge is power. Educate yourself, you know, educate your friends and family about the things that you've seen. Let's try to, you know, I don't know if we'll ever be able to stop fraudsters, but let's try to limit the impact that they're having on the lives of Canadians. We do have some time now for some final thoughts. So I'll start with you, Jeff. If you could leave final piece of advice for our listeners today, what would it be?
I'm going to keep it to take five, which refers to taking 5 minutes. Take more if you have to. And this refers to taking the time to research, you know, a phone call that you received, an email. You know, Constable Cadogan touched on rental fraud or rental scams. Take the time necessary to look into to what's being offered. Do your research with any type of fraud. Sense of urgency, very common throughout all types of scams. Don't feel pressured.
You know, that's some really great advice. You know, take a breath. Don't, you know, react instantly to the things that you're seeing. You know, sleep on it, or, you know, do your research, reach out, go to the Canadian Anti-Fraud Center website and see if there's any information there. If you're unsure, you may find that the things that are coming across your inbox or the things that you're seeing online or into your socials has been reported by someone else, and it'll give you the time to sort of, I guess, prevent yourself from becoming a victim. That's really great advice, Jeff. Thanks for joining me today. If people did want to reach out to the Canadian Anti-Fraud Center, remind them of how to do that.
Yeah, you can reach out by telephone, toll-free number 1-888-495-8501, or through our website, antifraudcenter.ca, through our fraud reporting system.
That's great. And Constable Cadogan, if you could leave our listeners with a final thought today.
Yeah, certainly. I think that we talked about some of the red flags and things to watch out for. So I think it's important to keep those antennas up and be aware that these scams are happening every day. I mean, we're getting calls about scams and frauds each and every day, and that's something to consider. So it's important to keep the antennas up. And as Jeff mentioned, you know, don't feel pressured. If you're getting a phone call from an agency or a corporation, you know, even if it may seem legit, and it may very well be, but you can still end that call and call them back directly to ensure that you are speaking to who you intend to. And finally, I'd just like to touch on social media. You know, it continues to evolve with new applications and updates to these applications. And it's important to consider what information is being shared with persons across these apps. And certainly for young people who are using these applications, to be cautious and ensure that, you know, we're speaking to our kids about the use of social media and, you know, the risks at play when you're speaking to persons you may not know.
That's really important information. Thanks again for joining me today. If people did want to reach out to the RNC, if they're looking to see, you know, what alerts have been released, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, certainly. So you can visit our website at rnc.gov.nl.ca and go to our newsroom, or you can follow our social media platforms on Facebook, Instagram, and X. And you can also reach out to the RNC directly at any of our jurisdictions across the province.
Well, thanks again for joining me today. And for listeners out there, if you've been a victim to fraud, if you know someone who's been a victim of fraud, or if you've just been approached by a fraudster who you think could be a fraudster and you haven't actually fallen victim, I can't stress enough, as we've been saying, please report it. You'll be helping others from being a victim of fraud. Also, if you have a comment or question, please reach out. You can email me at yourmoney@bdo.ca or call me at 800-563-8337. Until next week, I'm Nancy Sneddon. Stay safe and be well, everyone.
If you have a question or comment, send an email to yourmoney@bdo.ca. This has been Your Money with Nancy Sneddon of BDO, Licensed Insolvency Trustees, on your VOCM.